Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Let's get to what we know about the Tennessee Vols and the practice over the weekend with Austin Price of VolQuest.com, who joins us now. Austin, how are you?
As in yourself?
Doing well, Austin. So after the scrimmage on Sunday, has anything changed with the quarterback race between Jarrett Garantano and Keller Crist?
I don't think so. I still think that it ultimately boils down to who manages the game, who puts the team in the best position to win, and who protects the ball. And in talking to some people, both quarterbacks, you know, made some plays. You know, both turned it over. If I was just basing off people I've talked to, you know, Keller Crist edged out Jarrett Garantano in scrimmage number one. But when you look at the entire body of work through the first, you know, couple of weeks of fall camp, I still think Garantano.
You mean Keller Crist edged out Jarrett Garantano in scrimmage number one?
Yes, correct. Keller Crist edged Jarrett Garantano. But I still think when you look at the overall body of work, Garantano has a slight edge right now in fall camp.
What's the likelihood that both Chance Hall and Trey Smith are a full go for that game against West Virginia?
I think that Chance Hall will be a part of the roster that goes to Charlotte. Now, whether he starts that game, I don't know. I think he'll be available, and I think that's the best-case scenario. I think if you're Tennessee, you want him to be, you know, ready to go full bore for that tilt with Florida game four, September 22nd. Trey Smith, he's going to be good to go. He's chomping at the bit. His deal is more just coming off the blood thinners and you know, being ready to play, you know, from a conditioning standpoint. I don't think it's going to be a big deal because he's done all the conditioning. It's just he can't have any – when he's on the blood thinners, he can't be out there practicing, you know, and then, you know, one of the, you know, defensive linemen, or even if he's going against an offensive lineman in some contact stuff, has a long – you know, fingernail, and, you know, accidentally, you know, cuts his arm, and all of a sudden, you know, he starts bleeding heavy. You know, they don't want that to happen. So that's why he's being, you know, held out until he, you know, he's off the blood thinners long enough to be full go. When he's full go, he'll be good. So he's going to be, you know, a starter for the West Virginia game. Chance Hall, I'm not as optimistic about him being a starter, but I am optimistic about him being, you know, available for that game. He looks really good, Chad. I mean, like, you know, when you look at where he was at 2 years ago, when you look at where he was at last year, it's really night and day. And he's worked extremely hard. And a lot of the people that kind of doubted his want to have been proven wrong. And there were a lot of people that doubted whether Chance Hall wanted to play football again. But he's out there and he's going through it. And you know, he's putting in the work this offseason and is really seeing, you know, the payoff, because he looks like he's in maybe the best shape that since he's been here. And we'll see how that knee holds up, but it should hold up beautifully. He's got a brand new tendon.
Austin, regardless of who runs out there first and which running back runs out there first, do you see a scenario where Ty Chandler's a guy they try to work into the lineup in different ways and get him the football in different spots?
I do. I think that Ty Chandler is doing everything they ask. And that's what you expect out of an NBA kid who played for Marty Uvarard. You know, they are taught a certain way. And they're tough-minded. They just go to work. They're not prima donnas. And that's what Ty Chandler is, man. He just puts his nose to the grindstone. He works hard each and every day. And just does everything the coaches ask. And I think that's really started to resonate with the coaching staff, and he has been impressive in fall camp. He was impressive in the spring. No matter whether Jeremy Pruitt wanted to throw any praise his way or any of the running backs' way, you know, Ty Chandler's a guy that, while he's not as big as maybe they're used to at, you know, Alabama and other places, Ty Chandler's a ball player, and he will factor on this team heavy. I think Tim Jordan will as well. I think Tennessee's got a nice 1-2 punch, and then that allows them to play guys like Madre London in certain situations, work in Jeremy Banks, from here and there, but I really believe Ty Chandler is going to, you know, have a big year this year, both he and Tim Jordan.
Austin Price with us. Austin, do you get the sense that Pruitt is pleased with how the players have responded to the offseason and have entered practice, or do they still have a long way to go in meeting the standard of what he expects from this group at practice?
Well, he said it back in the spring, and he was more talking about the defensive backs when he said this. You know, I don't think they're ever going to measure up to what I want them to be. You know, is pretty much how he paraphrased it. And you know, he's got high expectations, but this group is starting to work the way he wants. They're starting to have a competitive nature that he's accustomed to being around, whether that is Alabama or Florida State or Georgia. And there's some accountability there that he's starting to talk about. He enjoys the group of kids on this team, but they're really starting to evolve and you know, kind of, I think, embrace what he wants out of this football program. So, you know, I don't know if you're ever going to see Coach Pruitt come out and gush about anybody. But with that said, when he's complimenting them, he's doing it in a certain way that, you know, hey, this team's doing some good things at practice, and they're able to, you know, kind of take a step forward from spring to now. In the spring, that's why he was challenging the fans at the end of the spring game. He was challenging the players and their ability to compete in the second half of the spring game. He's come out and thrown some compliments their way with how they put in the work this offseason, with how they're responding the first couple of weeks of fall camp. That's a good sign in my mind, because you're never going to get this glowing endorsement, but when he sees some growth, he is willing to throw some respect their way and throw a compliment their way.
Austin Price, FallQuest.com with us. Chad, you were asking about Pruitt.
Yeah, and this is something, to me, an interesting side story with this season, Austin. There's going to come a time. May happen against West Virginia. May be a lackluster effort against UTEP. May be in getting beaten badly at home against Florida. There's going to come a time early in this season where, even though Jeremy Pruitt likes these guys now and their effort is a little bit better, where Tennessee is going to sink back into the Tennessee teams of the last few years, and Jeremy Pruitt is going to be incensed. He's going to be so angry, he's not going to be able to see straight. He's going to take it out on players in the sideline. He's going to take it out on coaches in the sideline. He's probably going to take it out in the post-game press conference also. My question is, knowing this group of guys on this team, how do they then respond to that Jeremy Pruitt when that happens in the season? Because based on where he's coming from at Alabama, that's going to be an issue with this Tennessee team, at least early on.
I think that's where the rubber meets the road for a lot of these upperclassmen. They're either going to, you know, transform and adjust and do it the way Pruitt wants it done, or they'll find themselves watching from the sideline. And I think that's the catch-22 for a lot of these guys is, you know, the old way is out of here. And they're either going to do it, you know, the way he wants, or they're not going to play. And so you're right. At some point, you know, there will be a game where they regress. Now, you know, you said get blown out by Florida at home or lose badly to Florida at home. They may lose to Florida at home. I'm sure that Florida group can beat anybody that badly. But you're right. I think that at some point they are going to have a setback. And whether that's against West Virginia or even like, you know, a game, you know, late in the year where, you know, things get tough and they're trying to push through to make a bowl game, let's say against a Kentucky or something like that, a veteran-laden team that's got some guys that have been there and done that, and you're both kind of battling it out to get bowl eligible. I think something that at some point is going to happen, they're going to get knocked down. Does Jeremy Pruitt pick them back up, or do the senior leaders on this team pick them back up, knowing that that's what they got to do to avoid what you're saying? Which avoid the Pruitt, you know, the backlash of, you know, Jeremy demanding more. Because I think they know.
Well, and I asked that, Austin, for this reason.
After 8 months with this guy, they know what he expects.
No doubt. But Will Muschamp was a fiery, emotional guy. Jeremy Pruitt's a fiery, emotional guy. It took that Florida stint for Will Muschamp to figure out, okay, and it happened probably by year two or three, but this is how I need to behave as a head coach. I'm curious to see, because Jeremy Pruitt is not going to behave like a head coach at some point this year. He's going to revert to the fiery defensive coordinator he's been his entire career. It's going to happen. I'm just curious to see the reaction from everyone when it does.
Well, I think more than anything, Chad, is just being, you know, able to grow. And you're right. I mean, at points he's going to, at points I think he still thinks of himself as the defensive coordinator when he is the head coach. And so, you know, I think he's learning. And I think, again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. He's better now than he was 4 months ago, and he was better 4 months ago than he was when he first got the job. Learning the nuances of being a head coach and all that goes into it, with dealing with the media, dealing with the fans, all those things, and still being able to coach football, being able to manage your time working with the offense, not just totally dumping it on everybody on the offensive side. The one thing I think he's got going for him to help try to simmer that a little bit is his wife is a good sounding board for him. Casey is a really good sounding board for him. And then two, he's got guys around him that have all coached with him, whether it be Charles Kelly, John Lilly, who is a QC with the tight ends, Niedermeyer, Scherer. He has coached with these, Will Friend's his best friend. But, I mean, the point is he's got a lot of guys that I think can help him avoid those type of instances that you're talking about.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com with us. Austin, when you hear Pruitt yesterday say that the quarterback battle is still wide open, there's no one really rising above the other, do you take that as he wants both players in that position battling and fighting for their job every single day? Or is it more about there clearly has not been a number one guy rise to that level yet?
Oh, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think that nobody's totally grabbed a hold of the job, but I also think that, you know, as he said, if your goal is just to be the starter, then that's not a very good goal. Your goal should be to be the best, you know. And, you know, ultimately, he wants those guys to practice every day. Even when, you know, let's say Jared Garantano wins the job and it's a runaway. And it's not. I'm just saying, let's say it's a runaway, though. He wants Garantano's mental makeup to push him to want to be the best in the SEC and then the best in the country and not just, oh, we're the best on the team, you know. And so I think the competitiveness that lies within everyone, he wants that to be there every day. And it goes back to what I was saying about Juwan Jennings for the last couple of years on the show. Juwan Jennings will eventually have children in life, and I maintain that, you know, when he's out there shooting hoops with a six-year-old kid, he'll be blocking the kid's shot because he doesn't want to lose. And so I think ultimately it's like when Paul goes to the vending machine,
right,
and the grandma's cookies, they get, yep, hung up. Does Paul do the Fonz and just kind of elbow it and it falls down, or does he shake it? I think Paul shakes it.
Oh, I shake it.
615-737-1045. We'll take your phone calls coming up. Austin, thanks so much for the time, man. And we will catch up with you later this week.
Hey, thank you, guys.